Good morning, everybody. As the Daybreak Show continues on the phone line now, State Senator Tim Sheldon. Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Good morning. Just great. Beautiful, beautiful day and a nice week. So it's great to be here in Potlatch and here in the Mason County.
Been a while since we caught up, and let's just talk about how you have been adapting to this current legislative session. We've moved past cutoff week, and now you're starting in the Senate to hear bills that came from the House of Representatives. But overall, I mean, what can you tell me about your experience on this new way to do legislating?
Well, Jeff, it is very, very different. As you might know, I've been there 31 years, and this is the first session, obviously, we've had a remote activity. So I'm not the biggest technocrat in the world. I mean, if you want your firewood cut, split, and stacked, I'm your guy.
Right.
But when it comes to technology, I'm learning fast. My kindergarten granddaughter said, well, Bampi, all you do is just you push this button and there you are. You're talking to your kindergarten teacher. Well, it's a little bit harder, but I'm set up and we have to be seen by the president of the Senate when we vote.
Uh-huh.
So we have a video system, and it's hard to get into. It's called a FAR system, but you have to go to your phone and get this random number and punch it in at the right time.
Oh, okay.
And I can understand that. They want it to be secure, but yeah. It's working okay. I've adapted and doing it right here remotely, just like we do with a call with you, Jeff.
Talking to Representatives McEwen and Griffey on this as well, one of the things they were a little concerned about throughout the course of the session was just constituent input. We're so fortunate to be so close to Olympia, where on normal sessions, folks are always over there in your guys' office and things like that. So, but this has caused a real a retreat, rather, for the amount of opportunities for the public to get in there and to talk with you guys. What do you think about how that's worked out?
Well, there's good and bad. The good part is more accessible. So some bills that we've heard in our energy technology committee have had 2,000 people signed up. Now, that's amazing. But how many of those people's testimony will actually be considered? The part that's difficult is the chairman picks who speaks. So we have a very good chairman, Chairman Reuven Carlisle from Seattle, and he's trying to be very fair. But if you're the chair and maybe you're leaning, you decided what bills will come up already. So you've decided what the agenda is going to be and what bills will be heard. And you can, as a chairman, pick the panel or the individual to speak. So that's not good. In Olympia, I've been chair of committees for over the years, quite a few times. And what I think is fair is first you start with the people that have come the farthest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they aren't come. This is a big effort for them to be there.
Yeah.
And then you go down the list, and when you get to the lobbyists, they're always around Olympia. You could talk to them anytime. They can find you in your office. So I don't prefer to have them up towards the top of the list. So it is very different. It takes a fair chairman, and that's maybe what's like in the rest of life, too. You need a fair, accountable system to make sure the public feels that it's being they're being treated well. Now, the thing that I don't like is we still have a fence around the Capitol.
Sure.
Even if we're not using the Capitol building till next session, take the fence down. Come on. It doesn't have to be there. We're not going to get attacked. You know, we got the state patrol right there. The governor is not going to be held hostage. Come on. Let's get that thing down and tell, let people walk around the grounds, go up and down the steps. The kids love that. Just be accommodating.
Now,
maybe we open the building till next year, but let's accommodate the public.
Yeah, now's the time. The sun is shining. The flowers are starting to bloom, and the campus is beautiful. You bring up a good point there that, you know, limited, if any, entrance abilities, but, you know, make it so you can take a nice photo or something like that.
Right. It's the largest campus, a Capitol campus in the country. you know, it's four or 500 acres. Come on, let's just use the lawn and enjoy the trees, the beautiful views. So that's something with me that I think is very important. The longer you stay in Olympia, the more you I think appreciate the building itself, the Capitol campus, the history, the monuments that are there. It is truly irreplaceable.
Well, I mean, some of the last times that you and I talked in the past here was dealing with the beautification of the campus and cleaning the rotunda, the dome outside. And so you, right. I know you have a very strong passion for that. So we talk a little bit on the outside of the campus. Let's talk about what's going on the inside in the legislature.
Sure.
I've been following along with some of the news releases from your office, and we've been talking about a lot of issues with Representative Griffey and McEwen. One of the big ones that is going to continue to get looked at is the income tax bill that is out. I know you had made some comments on that. Let's again get your perspective on this one. I just want to make sure it was the Senate Bill 5096, the governor's income tax bill. Talk to me about it.
Well, the majority party, the Democrats, will call this an excise tax, and an excise tax on high earners. Well, when you ask the IRS, you know, the United States Internal Revenue Service, if an excise tax is an income tax, they have written a letter to the state saying, yes, it is. So let's just get that out of the way. It is an income tax. It is basically a starter income tax. I think it's directed towards those high income individuals. But once it's passed, and we had about a 4-hour debate on it,
yeah.
But once it's passed and signed by the governor, which I'm sure he will sign, it'll go to the court system here in our state and right to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court says, no, it's okay, it can be enacted by a simple vote of the legislature and a governor's signature, well, then we're down the road to an income tax, which will gradually be the threshold will gradually reduce to get everyone. And this is what happens across the United States. But you know, in 1889, our Constitution says we will not have an income tax. And it's been introduced, it's been voted on by the people 10 times, I believe, 10 times, and rejected every time. One proposal I remember with Governor Gardner, and I was a member of this task force that went around the state inquiring about people's thoughts about an income tax, and it was amazing. People were just about throwing tomatoes because the proposal was to reduce the sales tax and put an income tax on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is not even in this proposal. That would be somewhat fairer, but this proposal is just a flat-out income tax and not a constitutional amendment. A constitutional amendment would take 2/3 of each house of the legislature and then a majority vote of the people. And that's the way to change your constitution. And that's the way, if the people wanted an income tax, that's the route that the legislature should go.
Are there ways in this, as you guys are looking at it or with the House looking at it now, to add language that would add a reduction in the sales tax over time? Or is there a way you can add in the legislation that says these
yes.
thresholds are not adjustable? Or does that just kind of, you know, two sessions down the road, they'll go, well, that,
yeah.
I mean, that's the old session. We're here now.
Right, because one session of the legislature cannot bind another
right,
session.
Right, right.
So that would not work, Jeff. So
okay,
I'm worried about it. And the other reason that I don't think we need this is we have just received from the federal government $15 billion in this state under the new Biden bill,
mm-hmm.
and $4.5 billion of that is directly controlled by the legislature. So there's no need for a tax income tax, and certainly no need for any tax increases with that kind of money coming down the pipeline to Washington State.
We've seen in Mason County over the last few years, since we've had a chance to get you on, some great improvements. And this last year has been difficult, but this by the end of this week, we're going to be back open to 50% capacity on a lot of things, maybe some opportunities for watching sports here in the near future. What are your thoughts on how Mason County has moved through this past year? I know you've been involved with a lot of conversations from all sorts of different leadership on the vaccination efforts and just getting, you know, monies into the county and into the 35th, things like that.
Well, I think your county commissioners are doing a good job. I've talked to several of them just lately. They're helping to get the COVID vaccine out there. And as you say, with the businesses starting to open up, I think it's been springtime here, a little bit of sunshine helps and sanitizes and just makes people feel good. So I'm seeing out here in Hood Canal, certainly on the weekend, is an increase in the number of people and visitors that we have. You may not know, we have a gravel pit, so we sell gravel. And the calls I get are from people with 503 area codes or 704, 509. There's a lot of people that are coming from out of our county and out of our state, really, to find us. So I think the commissioners and others realize that we're trying to get ready for it, which is a good thing. And of course, in the transportation network that we have and how we interact with the state, with the county. And I hope we can open up the fairgrounds. Well, call it the fairgrounds, really, at the port, and have Oyster Fest this year.
Yeah.
That would be huge. You know, by that time, I hope we've passed, you know, we're in 100% area where people can get close again and enjoy the outdoors and enjoy all the things that Mason County has to offer.
Wouldn't that be something? That would just be wonderful moving into this summer. Well, listen, Tim, I know I appreciate the time this morning, and it's been a while since we caught up, and I think we can go through a whole list of subjects, but we'll pause in it here now, and if you're up to it, then we'll get you in here later throughout the rest of the session and catch in with things. If folks have questions for Senator Sheldon, you can email me daybreak@kmas.com, and we'll get those questions to Senator Sheldon here, representing the 35th District in the great state of Washington. Tim, good to talk with you. Good to hear that you're well, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Great talking to you.